from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the podcaster that says, if it's getting warm in here or cool in here, I'll take off all my socks. I will take off my socks. I'm going to take my socks off. You might say that in bed, and you might not. Or you might say, what is this person talking about? Socks or no socks? You're welcome. This feet under the covers or out of the covers? This could be the podcast for you. If you've ever wondered any of those things, or if you actually, it definitely might be the podcast for you if you think about those things. I'm sure for those people snoring right now, they never thought about, well, should I leave them on? Should I take them off? 1 foot out, 1 foot in. I mean, it's going to make a bit, oh boy, if I can just get my feet right, then it's going to be fine. And sometimes it really is. So this is the podcast that says I take off my socks, then I put them back on. It's time for Sleep With Me, a podcast that puts you to sleep. All right. Hey, everybody, before we get to the story or before we get started here, I just want to let you know, Sleep With Me, you know, really comes with from a place of empathy and compassion. And, you know, when I look back past year, like I really have found through the listeners, I've discovered kind of what softness and strength means at the same time. A lot of you have shown me amazing examples of that, being kind, being soft, being accepting and being strong at the same time. And that's what the show really is here for. To try to provide an environment that's soft, but underpinned by strength and caring and compassion. That's what it shows here. If you have extra needs other than me taking your mind off of stuff, right now there's links to organizations in the show notes you could connect with. And if you want to speak out on lives of the members of our community and say Black Lives Matter with your actions outward and inward, there's going to be links to organizations that you could connect with that can help guide you and get you started right in the show notes. And then if you're ever interested our sponsors, sleepwithmepodcast.com/sponsors. These are a couple of companies to bring us to you free twice a week. But this is Scoots here. This is where I ask you to, hey, if you think about signing up for Sleep With Me Plus at sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. With just a few questions. If you're new to the show, just ignore this message. Or if you only listen to Sleep With Me occasionally, or it could be easily replaced by another show, not important. Do you listen to Sleep With Me regularly? Yes. But yeah, does it improve your life in any way at all? And would you miss Sleep With Me if we stopped making it? Like, how much would you be willing to give on an annual basis or a monthly basis to say, hey, go ahead, start that podcast back up? So this is a way of not doing that. I'm asking if the answer to those questions are yes. Yeah, you're a regular listener. Yes, Sleep With Me improves your life. Yes, I could and would pay for the show if it was missing from my life. I'd pay to get it back. Or if you lost it, like you'd say, oh, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Could you help me find it? And this is a reward, whatever, $120. I need to eat my year of Sleep With Me back. Or you would find a way to support the show if you said, well, now I got to put up a poster. If the answers are yes, like I do need, like we're kind of in that place right now, and the whole podcasting industry is in that place more or less, where it's like, hey, I really need you to think about supporting the show right now. If the answer is yes to those questions, so we don't have to go through, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Because I don't want that. I love making the show. It does take a team of people to make the show. So think about it. Sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. If you get a lot out of the show and you'd miss it and you'd say, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Sign up for sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus and I'll thank you. Believe me, I'll send you a video and say thanks. Thanks so much. All right, everybody, it's time for the Sleepy Supporter Zone. I'm definitely looking for all of you that are testing out our free trials with Beachbody or Headspace or downloaded Best Fiends. But right now, I want to thank Belinda, who signed up for Daily Harvest. Belinda and Belinda's daughter are looking forward to getting that Daily Harvest at breakfast and lunchtime, whether it's the flatbreads or the smoothies or the bowls. I had a flatbread for lunch. And then I want to thank Charlie Grace West, Jess and Christine, who supported KiwiCo, and Tara, who got a set of sleep phones. Thank you, everybody. If you support a sponsor, tag them, tag me in a social media post, to send them an email, let them know you heard about them on the show. That's huge, 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 huge help for the podcast. If you want to see me using the sponsor's products, you go to our website, sleepwithmepodcast.com/sponsors. But yeah, let me know about it so I can thank you, like Belinda, Charlie, Grace, Wes, Christine, and Tara. Thanks, everybody. The next part of the Sleepy Supporter Zone is getting you the support you need. If you need support right now in this moment, there's organizations you could connect with right in our show notes. If you're looking to take a look at your privilege or, you know, where you are and you see, I want to be a part of healing and positivity and be a part of the solution. I want to support the lives of the Black members of my community. There's going to be links to organizations you could connect with right now in the show notes as well. And the third part of Sleepy Supporter Zone is something I support, and that's the Emotional PPE Project for everyone out there on the front lines, taking care of their emotional needs. You can go to emotionalppe.org to find out more. And that's the end of the Sleepy Supporter Zone, which is now over. Before we slow down, Mystery Bart, a lot of people help out on this show. Who are they?
This posty poster song
sounds like a near fall.
Wrote the theme song,
edits episodes too.
Carl W. the Legend
also edits episodes.
Kenny, Scotty, Jennifer, and Ashley.
Runner, 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 runner. Eric and the team at Astound are on the website.
I am the Mystery Bart.
I do the lullabies, yeah.
I do commissions at
JonathanMann.net.
I'll write a song for you.
It's almost Christmas, y'all.
You can tell me the story and
I'll make it personal.
You see the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Julie, and Jennifer, these are your narrators.
Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors. You can find anything you want at sleepwithmepodcast.com.
And we're so proud that we could dance. We're raising money for the Water Wheel Foundation, and Scooter might get a perm.
Thanks, Mr. Bart. I'm at Dear Scooter on Twitter and Instagram. That's where you can find me. What do you say we slow it down and get on with the show? Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do it with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you can set aside whatever's keeping you awake, whether it's thoughts, you know, things you're thinking about, things on your mind. So thoughts, feelings, it could be feelings, you're feeling like emotions that are coming up for you. It could be thought, so it could be feelings about those thoughts, about the past, present, or future. Could be more immediate, could be physical sensations, could be changes in routine or time or temperature. By the way, temperature, what's your issue? Or light, that light, maybe I could talk about that. I could use Nancy Drew if you're listening. Actually, don't come and help, because it would have to be when the lights are off, and then I would say, that's not, who's in my room? Well, it's Nancy Drew. You called me to help you. And you said the lights would have to be off because your mystery involved the lights being off, which you should explain to listeners probably after you get through this intro or in the middle of it. Nancy Drew, do you have any idea how many times I've had to invoke your name in podcast intros? Probably 20, 30 times. Nancy Drew, did you just say harumph because I hadn't done it like 90 times? That would be more respectful. You're right. If it was 1/10 of my intros, this Scooter's the only person that has a non-Nancy Drew Nancy Drew podcast that's evoked her name. 5%. I mean, we're not at 5%. I'm sorry, Nancy Drew. I know I can say this with somewhat likelihood. I've probably evoked your name more than Agatha Christie. So, and definitely thousands of, like, I've probably evoked the name of the Hardy Boys, like, once, and it was only in relation to you. So there's that. Anyway, well, she just asked who I said, Fancy Nancy or Nancy Drew. There's an idea. Talk about a mashup made in heaven or made in mystery. Fancy Nancy Drew. That sounds like a doll I would play with. And it has my, like, name in it, too. Maybe that, like, again, I used to go when I would check into hotels and I'd say, what's the name? Well, I'd like it if anyone calls for me, it's Noir Chardonnay, but now I'll go by Fancy Name. If you call a hotel, if you want to call hotels, don't do this really, but because I wouldn't answer. Plus, I'm not sure if my hotel phone rings, I'm not answering it. Just a FYI. Even if you work at a hotel, they say, well, the compliments of the chef are double dessert platters coming up. I would probably miss it because I'd say, why is my hotel phone ringing? I can't possibly. That's what, one of the things that would keep me up at night, because then I would wait for the voicemail light to blink. Oh, what's going on? Oh, so this, welcome to sleep with me. So whatever's keeping you awake, thoughts, feelings, physical sensations, I'd like to take your mind off of that. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to try to create a safe place using lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones, pointless meanders, superfluous tangents, which you've seen a few already, all to keep you company while you fall asleep, which can be like, if you're new, let me give you some information because this podcast can definitely throw you off. Now, if anyone listening from in any of those, anyone, I don't think, does Fancy Nancy's still with us? Nancy Drew is like, no, there's been a few new Nancy Drews. New Nancy Drew movie. How about one of those big streaming platforms? I mean, you could give me some, I mean, I'm sure none of the people involved would want, let's say, with the Sleep Podcast guy. Yeah, he's proposed. What about if just we do a Halloween? I know there's been other Halloween themed. I have one of the Fancy Nancy Halloween books in my personal collection. But I mean, I'm not kidding either. But what if one year it could just be a Halloween special, like with a mystery? I mean, this is a reasonable proposal. Fancy Nancy Drew, that's what she's going as for Halloween. But then, you know, there's the Fancy Nancy Drew and the Halloween mystery. I mean, or it could be like, this is not meant to minimize anything, but it could be a look back at 2020. Now, I'm recording this in the first week of October. You're probably hearing this in 2021, which is interesting. But it could be that it's Fancy Nancy's look back, you know. She says, well, that was the year we changed, you know, what Halloween meant. But I don't know. You know more than I do in the future. Okay, but anyway, sorry, new listeners. So a couple of things you need to know. I go off topic a lot, but I'm really here to keep you company. And they can get on people's nerves or like at first, and like I just say it strongly because that's what a lot of regular listeners, I just read a review from someone, a 5-star review. She said that she listened to the podcast a ton, or her friends had kept recommending the podcast. And she said, no, that sounds so annoying. And then she first listened and said it was doubtful and then started working. So if you're feeling annoyed or skeptical or doubtful, that's totally normal because that's a reasonable way to react to a podcast that's different, strange, goofy, and at least initially doesn't feel very sleepy. You say, when is this sleep stuff going to start? And I say, well, it kind of started already, but let me tell you a little bit more. One thing is, this is not a podcast you really listen to and pay attention. You can listen to it, but you don't need to pay attention. Like, you just say, like, this is the only podcast where you say, well, when did Scoot start dialing it in? And he said, no, Scoot's, they said, his podcast went on forever because he asks the listeners to dial it in. Dial it in is like, is that a truism for not really giving full effort. I think it has to do with dial phones. I don't even know where it comes from. But like it means not giving full effort. Like you say, well, I've been doing this a while. This one, the listeners get to dial it in. You turn on the podcast, actually do like maybe what the dial it in metaphor is. And you just kind of put the phone next to your bed and you don't really like, I just talk and you don't have to listen or even put the phone near you. Just say, I mean, how great is that? And you see, like, if you propose that to a regular person, unless, they would do it once. I think most friends or romantic relationships or siblings or, you know, certain other relationships would say, yeah, I'll do that, but not every single, not twice, maybe twice. You know, if it's a romantic, you know, say, well, this is, you know, I'm courting you, so, yeah, but then at some point, you can just say, well, I got a other, you know, I can't talk to you. And I, like, see, there's a podcast for that. You don't have to dial. I don't have to dial it in. Neither do you. You just call the scooter up and he talks and it doesn't really, he just goes on and on and on and on and on. So that's one way to listen. That's kind of how you listen. You just don't really pay attention to me. You just dial it in. Usually, dialing it in means the work going into the show. This means the work going into listening. You don't really have to pay attention, was a short way of saying that. There's also no pressure to fall asleep. The reason the episodes are about an hour is to give you plenty of time to drift off. I'm more here to keep you company, to be your boar friend, your boar bae, your boar cuz, your boar bestie, your boar sib. Yeah, you're someone like, oh, wait, I'll come back. So whatever it is, I'm here to keep you company while you fall asleep. But even if you can't fall asleep, I'm going to be here. But that's why the shows just go on and on and on, is you just fall off at your leisure. A couple other things to know if you're new. One, give the show a few tries. That's what most reviewers and regular listeners say. Like I said, they say, well, at first this show doesn't make any sense. It goes on and on and on, never gets started, then doesn't go anywhere. And it doesn't make any sense. But then I realize, oh, perfect. That's exactly what I've been looking for. Or you might say, I don't know about these creaky dulcet tones and pointless meanders. I say, well, give it a few tries. See if it grows on you. I hope it can help you. Other things to know structurally. This is where the most strong feelings come out. And I guess, understandably, this podcast does not follow any sort of podcast structure or normal structure because it's a podcast to put you to sleep, but also because it's this podcast to put you to sleep. There's other sleep audio since I've been doing the show more and more, and those shows have different structures too. Now, the reason this show has the structure it does is because one, oh, or let me tell you, it starts off with a greeting. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary. Because that's important so that you know you're welcome and you know you feel seen. Or, like, I can't tell you how you feel, right? Like, you know that my intention is to create a welcome place where you're seen. Then there's business. So the reason there's business and supporter zones and that kind of stuff is so I can bring you this podcast for free twice a week versus is a part of a corporate behind the paywall, ad supported. Then there's an intro. The intro goes from about minute 6 or 8 to minute 20, 22, 25, 18, somewhere in there. The intro is me just going on and on and on like I'm doing so far. And it's like I'm setting up or arranging the safe place because I kind of explain to the new listeners what the podcast is. I get distracted about that mystery at night and Fancy Nancy and Nancy Drew. Sometimes I pitch movies or books and those kind of things. And then I go back and I say, okay, so for a new listener, it kind of explains what the podcast is and gives you examples at the exact same time. But if you become a regular listener, what the intro does is it eases you into bedtime. It gives you a long runway to get some distance from the day so that you can fall asleep. Because for most of us, we just can't, like this podcast, I just can't count down or just go right into something. That's what makes this podcast different. It gives you some time. So some regular listeners they start the show before they get into bed, as they're getting ready for bed. Maybe they're like, maybe they listen in multiple rooms on the couch while they're doing something relaxing. Then they get in bed. Some people are getting ready for bed physically, you know, brushing their teeth, doing skincare, you know, doing self-massage, foam rolling. Some people are in bed getting comfortable. Some people are in bed drifting off. So there's a lot of different ways as you become a regular listener to kind of adjust to using the show. 2% of listeners skip the intro. Some people consume story-only episodes that are one of the many things we offer on Patreon. So you can kind of see how it goes as you become, and some people change it up. I mean, people are listening more and more during the day when they need a break or they need to relax, or they just like really want to, something to listen to that they don't have to pay attention to if they're coding or doing physical labor or doing something else like where they say, I just need something that kind of distracts me a little bit from the work at hand. So that's another option. So just kind of see how it goes. So that's the intro. Then there's business between the intro and the show. You could always find that business also at our website, but it's way podcast business is structured. It has to be there, and that keeps the show free. Then there's our story. Tonight it'll be a board game unboxing where I take a look at a board game from actually one of my heroes, John August. And that'll be fun. And then there's some thank yous at the end. So that's the structure of the show. And what else do you need to know? Structure of the show. No need to pay attention. Oh, why do I make the show? Because you deserve a good night's sleep. That's why I make the show. You deserve a place where you can get some rest. And if you're like me or a lot of the other listeners, you probably tried a lot of different stuff, right? And it's been very frustrating. It can feel bedtime can be a thing you don't look forward to, right? And you can have strong feelings. I mean, I get lonely, you know, when I'm tossing and turning. And I get, why me? All that kind of stuff. I don't want to say unfair, but it's not pleasant. And I think you deserve a nice, safe place where you can get, relaxed and fall asleep. And maybe this podcast is what does it for you or becomes part of your routine with other stuff that does it for you. And maybe not. I hope it does. But whether this podcast works for you or you could look at sleepwithmepodcast.com/no thank you, whatever work ends up working for you, remember, you deserve a good night's sleep. And on top of that, our world will be a better place if you get the rest you deserve and need, because you'll be living your life more fully. So that's what's important. And the other side of it is, like I kind of said, I've been there. I know how it feels. And I don't like, if I can help, it really gives my life purpose and my strange skill set. So that's why I make the show. And just to close it out, so I have this mystery right now. So one of the things I keep in my room or like close by is like gaffer tape to cover up like LED lights. I know they have like sticker sets that I've seen and I bought those, and no offense to the companies that make those, but they don't like gaffer tape. You could cover an LED and it won't, you don't got to worry about it. So I do that regularly. And so, but last few nights I've been noticing, and I have added like a new like power strip that I thought I covered all the lights on. And I think something else like a mouse or something. And then every night after I go to bed, I see these like blue lights against the wall. And I say, well, I got to do something about this, but not right now. And then so last night before I got ready for bed, I was like, I got to do something about them. I couldn't find them. I mean, I was right in the corner where my desk is. And they didn't exist until, of course, they appear when I turn out the lights to press play. So Nancy Drew or Fancy Nancy Drew, if you're listening, I mean, that could be an easy case. That could be like before the book. That could be like the bonus content or like in a, what do you think about taking out, does Scholastic take ads? I don't think they do. But if they did, or like free comic book day, You see, don't forget, don't miss out. October 29th, 2021, the Fancy Nancy Drew Halloween Holiday Mystery. But today on Free Comic Book Day, we have a two-pager from Fancy Nancy Drew in the blue light specials or something. And maybe the LED lights sing. And they really need to find their way back home. I don't know. But anyway, that's what's up with me at night. So that's why I want to help. Oh, boy. Like saying it out loud just makes it. I'm kind of like, okay, well, at least they're blue and they're not full strength. Like even though blue light, they say to avoid it, like it's not as intrusive as like green or red light when it's on a wall or like a brighter light. It's like one of those deep blues and it may be covered. I don't know. So anyway, again, you know, I'm close to, you know, I'm just resigned to it right now, Fancy Nancy Drew. So if you hear me, also, I just love saying that. So anyway, I hope you're listening. But you, dear listener, I hope I can help you fall asleep. Thank you so much for checking the show. Please give a few tries because you deserve it. It doesn't really benefit me because actually it doesn't benefit. But actually, believe it or not, when I say give it a few tries, like a part of me like goes and lies down like curled up in a ball because when I say that, then some people do that and then they say, like they don't like the show and they have to let me know about it vocally, but it's still what really works. So it's worth, you're worth it. You're worth me getting that email if you get a few tries and it works for you, because I don't benefit either way. Like I benefit maybe from the long-term listeners and the relationship we have, right? Long-term listeners. I mean, long-term listeners know, you know, my confused adoration of Fancy Nancy and Thea Stilton, Geronimo Stilton, because they say Scoots, none of them actually look into mysteries. I say, you're sure? You say, I don't know, like, and they say, no, one of them does. And I say, one time someone said, there's no such thing as Thea Stilton. And, oh, that was it, a cheesemonger, actually. I said, do you have any Thea Stilton? And they looked at me distastefully, scornfully. The cheesemonger scorn. That's when I ended up writing that book, Thea Stilton and the Case of the Cheesemonger Scorn. And, that you know, that book's not available at all because I haven't, actually, I only wrote the title, but... And they said, don't write it, because they have a direct line to my brain. I can't think of, I'm sorry, whoever the author is, but I'll actually donate some money. I'm not even kidding. I'm gonna, as long as you're not, like, out there in a negative way. Like, if you support positive causes that support dignity and respect and those kind of things, I'll support one of your causes. But also their estate always lets me know, or they say, we heard you were thinking about Thea Stilton in the Case of the Scornful Cheesemonger. And I said, incorrect, the Case of the Cheesemonger Scorn. And I was like, you don't want to hear about it? I picture a thorny bush on the cover. And they say, just to forget about it. And I say, well, if there's one thing I'm good at, it's proposing ideas and forgetting about them. And that's what I'm really here to do, is help you forget about the day just for a little while. So thanks again for coming by. I'm really glad you're here. I really hope I yearn and I strive. I work very hard because I want to help you fall asleep. Here's a couple of ways I'm able to bring this show twice a week.
Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive, where customers who save by switching their home and car save nearly $800 on average. Quote at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary. Support
for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple. All right. Hey, everybody. It's Scoots here, and we're doing a, this is a board game unboxing episode that I'm very excited to talk about because one of the creators of this game is John August from Script Notes Podcast. That we kind of owe a little bit of the podcast to John and Craig, or maybe a lot of the podcast, because I listen to Script Notes years before I started the show, and I could still picture myself where I was listening for the first time on a lunch break from my day. It was my job before it was my day job when I was doing the podcast, and it was just really like inspirational, educational, and really got me through some. It really unintentionally helped me grow up as a person, and then be able to make stuff. Because I think at the time I was listening to it, I was having trouble, a lot of trouble with follow through and getting things done and managing my expectations and managing getting work done versus escapism versus how you feel about yourself and stuff like that. So I'm very appreciative of John and Craig. And I mean, just to be totally straight with people, like it ended up like for me to move forward and making stuff, even though I kind of had some attempts, it was like I had to get sober for me. I mean, I started the podcast before I was sober, but I got sober not long after it, a few months. And I think those two things were interconnected. But having external positivity, I don't know, people that really care about something and they're putting caring into the show and caring for their listeners. I don't know. It was just, there's always been a special relationship for me. I don't know. It wasn't like a direct connection of me getting sober. But when I look back at some of the stuff, I say, oh, okay. And I can even remember sending them an email once and I was saying, but really like it was talking about habits, but I wasn't talking about alcohol. And I said, oh, wait a second. Like now looking back, I say, oh, yeah, the real answer was like, yeah, you got to have some space to be able to focus on making stuff in your spare time. So without further ado, now the official title of this game, you'll see in the show notes in the link, it's called One Kiss Farm, or One Kiss to the Big Farm is a longer non-real title for it. It also goes by another name, and I'll have a link, and you can purchase the game right from John's store. And this is an actual full-on unboxing. So I'm holding the box in my hand. I've not unboxed it. I took the wrapping paper off. And so this is exciting. I have no idea really what's in the box. So the front. So right now, the box is about the size, for those of you that remember a VHS cassette tape, it's about the size of that box, that kind of box. Or like the same shape as a PlayStation or Xbox or a DVD, just like it's about, probably is almost exactly an inch thick. It's made out of high quality paperboard with kind of a shiny, shiny matte finish. Is that even possible? I don't think it is. And this is the core deck. So the front of it has a, it's like almost like a three-panel thing, and it says One Kiss to the Big Farm, or Big Farm, you know, One Kiss Farm. And that's all in a kind of a cap, a white cap block letters. And the first panel on the top is, what is that, a vertical stripe, and it's blue, kind of like some sky or some snow. And there's a character on there, some sort of creature character, because this isn't it. Well, we'll see what the kind of game it is. And the creature's looking at us and has red eyes, and it's like a snow person, I think, maybe. It's just my guess, because maybe that's snow. But it could be like a, might not be snow, it could be some sort of plumage character. Now, the next one gets very interesting right away. And this, I remember this image just from seeing, like, back when John first put this game out. So the next panel is kind of a, like an orange space sky or night sky or a nebulous, orangish nebulous sky. And there's some, even some, like, thunderstorms and lightning storms behind it. But kind of like the ones you'd see, like you'd feel like you were, if you were in a space nebula or something. And then in front of that is a character who seems to be part organic and part cyber. And the character's yawning and is saying, oh boy, I'm sleepy. So maybe the cyber stuff is part of, I don't know. But it's like, so cute, the character. Oh boy. And that's under kiss. So I don't know if the characters kiss, a kiss, a yawn before a kiss or a yawn after a kiss. I guess you'd yawn, like you say, brush your teeth. Like, because you say sometimes people yawn and kiss in the morning. But you say, okay, could you brush your teeth though first? That's just me though. That's my issue. You're right. That's just my issue. I know. Okay, so then the next one is farm or, trip to the big farm in the sky. Where the puppies run free. And that one is kind of a greenish, it looks like a laboratory possibly with some sort of scientific equipment in the background with greenish hues. And then, like I said, some of this is rephrased just because of my lack of understanding of how to make it, but it says, so this is the tagline. The ultimate toolbox, some assembly required. Then there's kind of a stripe or some sort of like almost like a neon, I don't know, I'm not good at describing that kind of stuff, neon line that has a curve in it, and it goes from yellow kind of to a purple in a gradation of color. And it says core deck, so you can buy expansion decks, clearly. And then there's four symbols, which I assume have something to do with the game. One is a green, what are these, octagons or quantic? One, two, three, four. One, two, three, four, five. One, two, three, four, five. Can't even count them. One, two, three, four, six. Is that a sextagrand? Never got one of those, ever. Penta's five, right? And Septa's seven. I don't know. So it's not an octagon. It's whatever has a six-sided geometric shape, of course, Alec. What is a six-sided geometric shape? And they're kind of in a triangle or a cross shape. And the one on the left is green and has a leaf. So that's some sort of organic, maybe. The one on the bottom is blue, and it looks like it has a circuit board. Then the one on the right is maroon, and it has like an atomic-type symbol. And then the one on the top is intriguing. It is orange, and it has a triangle with a circle behind it. So that's interesting. Okay, then on the left side of the box, it says One Kiss Farm, and it has the four symbols. And it goes triangle, what is that, a circuit board, atomic leaf. And it's from the company, quote unquote, which I think is John's company. And on the other side, it says, yeah, One Kiss Farm. It has the same triangle, circuit board, atomic leaf. And here's some good news. It also has a web app and a companion apps available on the Apple App Store or as a web app. And now let's get into the marketing part, right? So the backside is the kind of marketing, the teaser, to get you if you're in a store. I bought it I'm embarrassed to say this, but I did buy a bunch of them as gifts because they were changing warehouses. And I said, holy cow, I got to buy that game. But I do promise to buy the expansion packs at full price. So it says One Kiss Farm, created by John August. There you go. And then it has the four symbols again. And then it has the cards. So on one side of the card, it says OHK. What did I say? One Kiss, which is another way of saying the actual, that's another nickname for the game. OHK. Oh, let's hug and kiss. So that's like what you could also call the game. Oh, let's hug and, oh, the let's is in a parenthesis, hug and kiss. Or for short term, oh, hug and kiss. If I would have thought of that earlier, that would have been what I would have titled the game. But I do like One Kiss Farm. So OHK, and then underneath it, it says tool. Offensive tool, it says. Yeah, offensive tool. Or another vocabulary word. Then it has four cards of what they look like in the game. Oh, maybe this is just somebody from the Frost Giant. And then it has writing that's either not legible to my eyes or is just, and then they have a something rabbit. Then they have, I can't read that. I got to get some readers. Habnura. And then something, something of the gods. This is a game of ridiculously overpowered offensive tools, archetypal beings, and cuddly rabbits. Then we have more cards, but I'm going to read the copy here. Race to assemble an offensive tool so powerful it could send your opponents to the big farm in the sky with a single kiss. A One Kiss Farm. One Kiss Farm is an easy to learn and fast moving, drawing from traditional card games like gin and poker, along with European style games like Catan and Ticket to Ride. Those are all popular games. I mean, oh boy. In my house, Ticket to Ride is like and poker. I love gin. I haven't played in a while, but I love playing that game. With simple rules and surprisingly complex strategy, One Kiss Farm might be your new favorite game. Okay, then to the left of this, by the way, at the top, the offensive tool cards have a black background with white writing on the, whatever the non-showcase, you know, the backside of the card. Yeah, backside of the card. Now, these cards, it's showing down here, have, it says OHK and then OHK mirrored. So if you have the card either way. But that's with a white background and black writing. And then it has a sampling of cards. There's some really nice colors. Again, the like mustardy yellow, limey green, a maroon, and then a, I don't know, is that a royal blue? Is that what royal blue looks like? I don't know. And then it says, oh boy, in the box, one Kiss Farm core deck, 40 core deck component cards, 20 core deck offensive tool cards, and 11 core deck special cards. Also includes instructions and a double-sided full-color play mat. Holy mackerel, it comes with a play mat. It's for 2 to 3 players. It takes 10 to 15 minutes, ages 8 plus. So I'm going to open the box so you won't hear that part because I know you're in bed. Okay, so this is totally 100% real unboxing. So the first thing is a getting started game, and it's, it's just 4 pages, so that's really good, and a lot of visuals, which are good for learning. So we'll go through that last, because we don't want to, I love speculating. Then we have the playmat. Let's check out the playmat, because that playmat, you say, Scoots, what's a playmat? A bit like a game board for a card game. It'll help you organize things. So it's a two-sided playmat, and on the side I'm looking at is it's the orangish nebulous sky with that yawning cyber buddy, and it says One Kiss Farm, and it has a discard pile face down, a draw pile, and then something called the field, and there's three face-up cards in the field. And then it says, I guess on your turn, it's a, but it doesn't say on your turn. It says, do exactly one thing. You could draw a card, play a special card, discard any number of cards, add an offensive tool, or win the game. And the flip side is the exact. It's also, so I guess it's like if you're in the mood. This is more of a cyber side. It has the same layout. It's just blue and purples with a... I don't know, like a bunch of spacey, like what's that, Tron-like cubes, and like maybe even a cube city in the background. Very beautiful, and like a beautiful sky, even a little lens flare, maybe. So that's the playmat. Oh boy, and it gets better. It gets better from here, because here's the even better news. It just comes in its own box, like the core deck... is a deck in itself that actually has a card box, which is so rare nowadays. Like, usually you have, you know, different, like, so you could actually take this and play it, like, on a road trip. I'm not sure. We'll have to see how the play goes. Like, could you play it while waiting in line at a theme park? But they also have the app. And the play box is, again, in that nebulous color. It looks like there may be, there on the back, it says One Kiss. It has a website, which I'll link to. And it says One Kiss, would I say One Kiss Farm Core Deck, and the symbols, and then the nebulous sky, maybe some sort of asteroid with runes on it. I mean, R-U-N-E-S's, not R-U-I-N-E-S's in there. So I'm going to open the box, so I'll be right back. All right, so I have it unwrapped, and it's actually like a really nice card box. It's thicker than a regular 52-card deck, but a quality box. So again, you say, could I take it on the road? I'd say probably you can. Could you carry it in your pocket, your front pocket? I mean, you could carry it in your back pocket, just don't sit down. And could you carry it in your front pocket? Probably it'd be a little bulky, but you could all easily put it in a backpack or even a small small. You could even take it in your pocketbook. Oh, not a pot. What's a? Oh no. Like any small bag, any person could be carrying. Okay, so I have the cards in my hand, and there's like they said, there's three. Well, let's see. Yeah, there's offensive tool. Oh, boy. And they have their high-quality cards, like, because they have even, like, that texture to them. Like, they're made of a material. Like, you can even see on the cards. I don't know if that's for holding or just the quality of the paper, where it looks like there's squares. Like, almost like you say, is that made out of, like, material, I guess? Well, everything is material. I mean, like, a cotton or something versus paper. It's embossed, I don't know. And they're shiny, and they, yeah, plastic coated or whatever, I'm sure. And at this thing is like the thing that says OHK, which is a short term for the third alternative name or the second alternative name. Oh, hug and kiss. OHK. Makes me think of OKC, Oklahoma City basketball team, or OAK, OAK is Oklahoma Airport, or Oklahoma where the wind blows. But anyway, so I'm going to flip these cards over and just look at this. This card says Overload, and it's some sort of doing card. Replace all the cards in the field. Any player with more than 10 cards has to discard down to 5. And if this card fills a spot in field or any player's hand holds 2 overload cards, it takes effect immediately. So that brings up a question right away for me of like, oh boy, like, well, how does something end up in the field? That's question one that I'm interested in find out. And then two, how would people know if you like if you have two overload cards? Are your hand, is your hand displayed? Is there an honesty thing? This is interesting already. Okay, next one is another overload card, which we've seen. Another, so three overload cards so far. Oh boy, chaos. Anybody, shout out to Rob and Josh and all the rest of the, remember Chaos Cast from one of the best seasons of the TV show Survivor. Chaos, and it has the atomic symbol. Oh boy, I sorry, with the overload, it had the symbol for rads. If you've ever played a video game and you need to measure your rads, that one has, this one is more of the atomic symbol for chaos, which is red. The rads symbol was orange. And this says, oh boy, I just noticed, holy mackerel. It is so subtle. Is that my imagination? No, like in the background, is that on all the cards? I'll have to see. There's like a very faint a gray. So it's a white background, but there's a gray pattern. This is just very faint. I don't know if that's on all, like just on the chaos cards or not. Discard all three cards in the field. Or force another player to take them, refill the field, then draw one card from it. And let's see, it's probably three, oh no, two chaos cards, but we don't, you know, we're not counting cards here. Yeah, and this card is, it says natural selection, and it has a gray, kind of like a geometric type background, or like a pores of skin. Or you're right, plant pores. You're right, it could be pores on a plant. And this has the leaf symbol. And it says, draw the top five cards. Keep as many of them as you wish and discard the rest. So this is interesting. It reminds me, like, I'm already getting a feel for this as far as how much fun I'm going to have. Like, it's got a little bit of, what do you call that game that I played with Antonio Banderas, Munchkin. And another game that I've played in, you got Mewing Kittens. I don't know if this game came out before that, though. But yeah, so then there's another natural selection card. And next one is called Regex, R-E-G-E-X. And it has the cyber symbol. And it has a different background. Okay, so everything does have a different background. So this one has a gray, distant background too, but it's very, like, a, what do you say, a graph paper. So that last one was like plant cells or something. Search the draw pile and select one card to put in your hand, and then shuffle. That is really good to go through the draw pile a lot of times. Like in Munchkin, that's a really good one. And sometimes you could search, there's different draw piles. Another Regex card. And I like the Regex, it's funny. Transmute. So this is the triangle and circle symbol. But the circle's smaller than the triangle. They're not, like, it's not like the triangle's within the circle, it's over the circle. Because the symbol for AA is a. The triangle within a circle. Okay, and it looks like it has a triangular gray background. Very geometric. And this one, change the class of one numbered card. Also, change the class of one numbered card when it is played to create an offensive tool. Wow, so this opens up, this blows my mind. Change the class of one numbered card. And it can become an offensive tool. So now I say, well, I don't even know what to expect next. I mean, we get to those type of cards. And then another transmutes. Okay, here we go. This is our first numbered card. Oh, boy. And it's like, we talk about this. You know, board games are something that also involves theater of the mind or suspension of disbelief, right? In order to have the most fun, in my opinion. So this one, the card, all the writing on the card is red or maroon. I'd say it's a dark maroon, but it could just be red. It's 10 is the number. It has the atomic symbol on there. It says Arctic Blast. And it has snowflakes drawn with sleet and snow. So you say, okay, Arctic Blast, and it's 10. So say, okay, well, it's 10 the purchase. You know, this is interesting. And let's see, the next card. Oh, boy, so now we're on 9, Lightning Bolt. And it has the atomic symbol and a lightning bolt drawing, kind of like you'd see on the front of the Shazam. Now we're down. Oh, no, now we're on 8, Eye of the Storm. This is also the atomic symbol. It looks kind of like the Eye of a Storm or a black hole or a vortex or vortex. You say vortex, I say vortices. You say one's plural, Scoots. And I'd say, well, then I guess it's a vortex if you want to be technical. But yeah, Eye of the Storm, 8, atomic symbol, or yeah, atomic symbol, maybe, I don't know. I don't know what Dr. Manhattan would say. Oh boy, Cosmic String, number 7. And it has like some cool like space dust, shining stars, and then what could be cosmic string. All these have been maroon. So maybe there's like 4. Oh, so there's like 4. What are those called? 4. I don't know. What do you say when you play regular cards? 4. Not values. You got hearts. You get diamonds. I'll think of it eventually. But this one's Thunderclap. It's 6. It's a cloud, like a like with lightning coming out the top and the bottom. But it's just a thunder clap, which is different because that's a noise. So no wonder it's worth 6, where a lightning bolt was worth, whatever, 9 or something. Okay, then we have Ancient Sundial for 5 and a cool, like, ancient sundial type image. I want to keep moving. Stone Skin. So, like, what is that? Solomon Grundy? Did Solomon Grundy have stone skin, or was it just the, was that the name of that dude? In the Fantastic Four? Or was that somebody else? I don't know. But yeah, it's stone skin, and it has a hand which has stone skin. Number 4, atomic symbol. Frost Blade. I don't know. Maybe these numbers are better, or like the lower Frost Blade looks like a frost blade and like an ice blade. And you'd say, holy cow, like, will the North remember? And I say, I don't remember anymore if they were, like, but, yeah, it's like a sword. Yes, it's a sword made of ice. Frostblade 3. Frostblade's also probably a popular name in D&D. Quicksilver, it's a jar or like a beaker, and it has a cork stopper on the top and some sort of clear liquid. Number 2, Quicksilver. Also a Kevin Bacon movie, Quicksilver. I think Jamie Gertz and Kevin Bacon play love interests in Quicksilver. It's been a long time since I've seen that one. Kevin Bacon was a... It couldn't be a tell of the tape just because I don't remember. But things I remember was like Kevin Bacon's shirt, because he had this shirt that was like a material that looked like chainmail. Took place in San Francisco, I think, or New York or L.A., and he was a bike messenger. And, you know, of course he stumbles on, I think he's, you know, love and stumbles on something. Number 1 with the atomic symbol is a moonstone. Very beautiful sphere, like with some like elements that kind of make it feel reflective and like a moon, like a moonstone, like a polished moonstone. And yeah, don't make any jokes about me polishing my moonstone, because that's not what I polish, you know. I polish my, I don't know, my flatware, I guess. Okay, now we're on to the leaf symbol, and this one is like the light green. I don't think it's quite a lime green. I'm sure John would say, well, it's a B set, like, say, okay, what is it, what is that stuff called, Pantone? I always say it wrong. Is it Pantone or get Pantone on the phone, or is it Panatone? Or is it Pantene? Pantene is what I wash my hair with sometimes. I like, is VO5? No, that's Vidal Sassoon. Get Pantone. Remember a long time ago, I said, get Pantone on the phone. But this is Wings of a Dragonfly, and it has a dragonfly with its wings. Very, like, healthy, stout dragonfly. Don't worry. So you can see the poker-type elements. Nine is fire ants. Number nine, fire ants. The next one is Eye of the Owl, and it's a close-up of an owl eye. And that's just, it's super cool. It feels like, I say, I might put this up somewhere when I need inspiration. Strange Vine, number seven, and it looks like a strange vine. This art is amazing. Roar of the Ape King is number six, and it's a roaring, like a gorilla, it looks like. All done in green. Circle of Life, so Circle of Life is like intertwined vines or branches in a circle that are alive. So Circle of Life. So more Circle of Life and an actual Circle of Life than a metaphorical one. Okay, the next one is Hide of the Rhino, and it's a hand too. So I guess instead of stone skin, you could have rhino hide. So this is interesting. So then it's like, okay, these things you would add on. Like, are you building a character with powers? I'm excited. Razor Claw. This looks like something you'd find on a, what are those things? A velociraptor, like a velociraptor claw. For kiss, for waking you up and saying, hey, good morning. Like my lunch now. Not you. I'm Blue. Remember, I'm a friendly velociraptor. Said, actually, I'm not a velociraptor, Scoots. Oh, okay. Sorry, Blue. But yeah, that's a razor claw. Centaur drool. Drool of the centaur. And it has like a trophy that I would presume is full of centaur drool. And that's number two. And coming in at number one is like a, it looks like a kind of thing you'd have, it's horns. Like, or something you'd see in a Southwestern museum, and it's bone meal. Like, I think bogue meal, like, was from Beverly Hills Cop, wasn't that Commissioner Bogomil? Bogomil. Okay, next up is Blue. Now we're on Blue, which is the one, the symbol that kind of looks a little bit like a circuit board. Anti-grav thrusters, and it looks a little bit like a jetpack. Then we have a flame cannon, which looks like a flame cannon. It even has a digital readout. So this kind of gives me like a little bit of a StarCraft feel as far as like, this has four symbols. We say, well, which one are you going to end up identifying with the most and using? And you always, like, people always, you know, no one ever asked me that, but I always like wonder, Scoots, which of the three, of the, what do you call them, in the thing, that game StarCraft, did you identify with? Protoss, the Terran, or the Zerg? And I'd say, well, one, I only played the campaigns. I'd never played against other people. Even when I played against the computer, usually they would be Zerg. Usually a computer would be the Zerg and do that thing where they rush and they get you. I prefer, and this kind of trans, like, I prefer to be the one that, like, just slowly does resource gathering, sets up a defensive thing, endures the first on, you know, thingamajig. And then I like to have long distance. Like, I like to pick stuff off long distance. So it doesn't really matter. So the answer is it doesn't really matter. I think the Terrans were the easiest to develop that with because you just had to, like, then you could, yeah. like you could, the hardest thing with the Terrans was making sure you had something anti-aircraft. I think that was mobile. I remember that was like maybe what I remember. But you could really get a lot of things out of their ground units. Then Zerg, they had this thing that looked like a crab that really had good range. And I actually did like using that because also their second level ground troop could do anti-aircraft. And they also had these other anti-aircraft aircraft that were good to protect your flying crabs. And then I would say third was Protoss, because theirs you had to buy. They had a tank, too, that had good range. But you had to keep remembering to build the ammunition for that one. So that was like I would never remember that. And I'd say, oh, boy, I got to go back. Oh, no, I'm out of resources. But the Protoss also had other stuff. Like the Protoss, if you had, like, time to really build it out, they had some really powerful high-level characters. Anyway, oh boy, I forgot I was talking about OHK. Okay, number 8 is an optical sensor upgrade, and it looks like an optical sensor upgrade. Very cool. Then we have carbon fiber, and it looks like carbon fiber. Sonic disruptor, which looks like a bit like a squirt gun attached to something out of like a kind of 50s or 30s, 40s sci-fi thing with the, what is that called? Like a satellite dish attached to it. Very cool. And it's shooting out some sort of sonic disruption. Gyro stabilizer, of course, and that looks is a gyroscope that you would just like the one you'd play with as kids. But this is, you know, powerful because you're in the theater of the mind. Upgraded plating. So that's the hand. I guess 4 is always kind of like an armor thing. Plasma cutter. That's a 3. And it's kind of like a fork with a... I don't know what this looks like. So it has a handle, then it has 2 prongs with the plasma, like a laser going in between the prongs. Great for cutting. Like, it would probably be good for cutting cheese, depending if you could put it on lower power. Nanofluid, that's kind of a container with some sort of DNA type, but manufactured very... geometric helix inside the container. Oh, and then somehow there's a offensive thing in here right in the middle of my deck. And it's the Kraken from the deep it rises. And that has a beautiful piece of art. So you got to buy this game. Illustrations by Simon Estrada. And I guess to use a Kraken, you would need 4 atomic symbols and 3 leaf symbols, I'm guessing, because that's what's on the bottom of the card. Now we're back to the OHK cards. Number 1 for, circuit board, Quantum Crystal Processor. And it has a pretty cool, one of those, almost like a buckyball, not a buckyball, but like that Buckminster Fuller type look with an M.C. Escher, because it's like, is this a cube? Or is it an septagon or whatever? Or is it something else? Is it 3D or is it 2D? Then we got Fairy Dust. This is the triangle one. So now we get into a fantasy type thing. It's like a pouch of fairy dust. It looks cool, and it's got cool effects. Ashes of the Phoenix, that's 9, and it has a phoenix type of drawing or illustration. Crystal Ball, number 8, a crystal ball, really cool. I'm kind of feeling this like a mustard one. Mithril Cord. I think, what's his name? Not Gandalf. Why can't it? My membrane never remembers anything. Suits, that's what cards are called. I just remembered that one. Suits. So these are different suits. But mithril, and you'd wear a suit. If I had a suit of mithril, it would protect me from people's judgment of not being able to remember Frodo Baggins and Bilbo Baggins, which I did eventually remember. So I wish a suit of mithril. My life with J.R. Tolkien is the world's foremost Tolkien impersonator. Just a title I thought of. Song of the Harpy. This would, man, this is like, that would be one of my other autobiographies. Why I Stopped Singing. And it has musical notes with feathers on the end of them. So that's very cute. To me, it is. Ring of the Lich. And it's like a ring of a lich. I think that's how you say it. Lich. L-I-C-H. Then dragon scale for your armor for your in the hand with dragon scales on it. I'm definitely down for cooking tool of the crescent moon. And it has a cooking tool, like a scythe that you would use to harvest wheat. Tears of the Sphinx. And it has a, what is that called? Sarcophagi with a tear symbol on it. Tears of the Sphinx. Can you believe I could say Sphinx, but I can't say, I mean, I try, I don't know, I'm wondering how, what do you call that? What are those things, those sound sibilants that is? Philosopher's Stone is number one. You say, holy Potter, Philosopher's Stone. Pre-Potter, I know. Okay, now we're moving on to the tools. OHK tool, number one is Living Steel, or number two. And it looks like Simon Estrada did all these illustrations, but we'll see if anybody else did it. And it's like so very steampunk, sentient but never sentimental. And it needs two number fours, two leafs, and three circuit boards. And again, you could spend all day looking at these illustrations. The next one is Sands of the Habanura. Sands of the Habanura. And this one is that, like from the cover, it doesn't have the yawning friend, but it does have the storm. Maybe it's like a phoenix storm. Very nebulous, very spacey. The wind is hungry. Oh, no, this illustration's by Noah Bradley. And this one has, you need two triangles, two number ones, and three atomics. Cthulhu's, how do you say that? Cthulhu's grandma or whatever. Twice as ancient, twice as evil. And this is also by Simon Estrada. And it has a cane and glasses, but it's walking in the, whatever that one is, how do you say that? Love, like, I can never say it. Hulu. Cthulhu. I don't know. I never even hear people say it. Or if they do, it doesn't sound anything like it looks. So then I say, Grey Goo, Nanobot Party Don't Stop. This is also by Simon Estrada. And this one you need two leafs, two number twos, and three circuit boards. Bow of Elven Kings, that's perfect for dragons and pesky creatures. Oh, same illustrator. And I want to try to get through all these, so I'm going to pick up my pace of not of talking, though. Vorpal Scissors, Cut the Fabric of Space and Time. Christina Hess did that one. And again, beautiful. Basilisk, is that how you say it? Basilisk? And that one's a Stone Cold Farmer. Oh boy. And that's by Simon Estrada. Time Machine. They'll wish they'd never gone back in time. Again, man, I wonder if they put these on sale as prints. And this is by Simon Estrada. Then we have Abomination. Some things just probably by this one's it's interesting, quite interesting. Abominable non-snow person. And this is also by Simon Estrada. Then we have NX17, Runny Nose. Oops. That's by Andrew Goh. Another great, this one's kind of funny and not funny at the same time, illustration. Railgun Speed Kills, and that one is by Simon Estrada. Porta Potty, pretty gross. And that one's the green one from the cover. It's like a green, it's in a lab, you know, it's got that green descent coming off it. Pit of Oblivion, Don't Look Down, and there's like a globe about floating above it. This one's by Noah Bradley. Kaiju, so Kaiju Maximus, so that's a yawning buddy from the cover. It's over a city that seems to be in a nebulous form, lightning, thunder, all that kind of stuff. And that's Kaiju. Oh, part reptile, part robot, all smash. Okay, we got Frost Giant. Fun fact, she hates fun. Oh, and that one, previous one and this one are by Simon Estrada. Sleep of the Fairy Queen and Century of Slumber Awaits. Wow, really beautiful art on these cards. That's also by Simon Estrada. Portal Nowhere, Wherever You Go, There You Aren't. And it's kind of like a swamp with the cyber space cubes and Tron like obelisks, maybe even like portal, like gleaming light portals or something. It's the same illustrator. Hammer of the Gods, Forged in the Fires of Creation, it never misses its target. And that's kind of like Thor's hammer a little bit. Same illustrator. And our last card, Mostly Cuddly Rabbit. No enemy can withstand his cuteness. And it's a very cute, cuddly rabbit. I'm sure it's up to no good. And that one is also by Simon Estrada. So that's it for the cards. Let's just get a quick view of how to play this. So you have the offensive tools. To win the game, you have to be the first player to build one. And you build a weapon with components, and those are the cards with the suits. Each weapon requires specific components. For example, Frost Giant, you need 4 bio, or which are the ones with leaf, and then 3 elemental components, which are the atomic ones. To win, just build a weapon before your opponents. It's that easy. Setup, you get ready. The Kordak is for 2 or 3 players. You shuffle the white cards, then deal each player 7 white cards. Those are your hand. Don't peek. Put the remaining ones down, face down on the draw pile. Place 3 white cards face up in the field. And then if the overload card shows up, shuffle it back in the deck. And we have the playing field, which is cool. And there's a discard, before you probably knew that. Shuffle the black cards, deal each player 2 black cards face down. These are the weapons you're going to want to build to win. You can pick up these cards or leave them on the table. They don't count as part of your hand. Set aside the remaining weapon cards in a pile. Decide who goes first, rock, paper, scissors, or whatever. And subsequent games, winner goes first. Okay, playing the game, the fundamental rules of one Kiss Farm is to do only one thing, exactly one thing. We'll repeat that a lot because it's so important. So you could either draw a card, you could take a card from the draw pile or one of the cards on the field, put the card in your hand. And if you take one from the field, replace it with one from the draw pile. You could discard any number of cards in your hand face down in the discard pile. You can discard as many cards as you want on your turn, but why would you want to discard? Because holding more than 10 cards is risky if someone gets overload. Take a new weapon. Don't like your two weapon cards? Take another from the pile. There's no limit to how many weapon cards you can have. Take a special card, or play a special card. Special cards do special things. Or reveal your weapon and win the game. Because you can only do exactly one thing, you'll end up completing the weapon the round before you use it. Super important rules. Components must be in a run. Components need to be in... Oh, so this is like the poker or rummy, gin rummy. They have to be in the same class in sequential order, like a straight flush. So 5, 6, 7 of the elemental. You can't do 2, 6, 9. Or 8, 9, 10, but not all of the same suit or class. And 10 is the top, so you can't go 9. It doesn't go back around like an ace. 9, 10, 1 would not work. Also, components can't do two jobs. If you're trying to get the ones that have numbers, like a basilisk, you need 2, 8, which are eye cards. You can't use those for your component cards or your class cards. Automatic overload. If an overload ends up in the field, it is triggered automatically. Additionally, if a player has 2 overload cards in their hand, they trigger immediately and both overloads must be discarded. Okay, specials. Yeah, we went through the special cards. Overload is the most dangerous card, one of the most dangerous cards in the game. Forces anyone with more than 10 white cards to discard down to 5. Sweeps all cards out of the field to the discard. Overload can be played from a player's hand, just like any special card. It affects all players. If overload ends up in the field, it is triggered automatically. If for any reason a player has 2 overload cards in their hand, they trigger immediately and both overloads must be discarded. And then finally, it closes out as a backside. One Kiss Farm can be played, is designed to be evolved with expansions and variants. Expansion packs, such as... The Big Farm and Lore add new components, offensive tools, and specials to One Kiss Farm. With an expansion pack, up to 6 players can play. Every expansion pack requires a core deck. Most offensive tools in an expansion pack use a mix of core classes and expansion classes. To use an expansion pack, shuffle it's so you can wait till you get your expansion pack. Variant rules. While the standard rules are a great way to begin, the game can be hacked and customized. Small changes can have a big impact, forcing players to switch to strategies. These rule changes are called variants. Variants follow a standard format, making it easy to see what's changed. This is the most common variant. Communal offensive tools. You could use core or any expansion with 2 to 3 players in core or 2 to 6 players with the expansion. And your goal is still to build one of the weapons before your opponent can. And all you do is at the start of the game, deal 2 weapons face up and place them near the field. Each player is trying to build 1 or 2 of these weapons. On their turn, players can choose to add a new weapon to the group with a maximum of 4. Each player is trying to add a new offensive tool with a maximum of 4 offensive tools allowed. And there's many more on their website, which I'll link to. So, yeah, that's a board game unboxing. Thanks for listening, and good night. I'm looking forward to I'm going to play this game tonight for sure, so with my daughter, Sophia. So, good night. Okay, I want to thank everybody who reviewed the show on Apple Podcasts recently. Cutie Coco Puff said, "Hey, Scooter, love your podcast. Started listening. It's great. Every night, turn on Sleep Like Log. Like that it's free. I found it at 3 a.m. and couldn't go back to sleep. All my friends recommended to me, but I doubted it would work. I wasn't excited to start listening to it because, you know, I didn't think it would work. And at bedtime, I turned it on. It did. Thank you so much, Cutie Coco Puff. Sea Chug. This is another really long review, but for their first review. So, and this is a longtime podcast listener. So I just want to read this. In roughly 15 years of enjoying podcasts, I've never written a review. Not a one. Your podcast has helped me sleep for years. I started listening to it when it first came out. It only gets better with time. My favorite part of nighttime routine is hearing your inclusive, like hearing that Black Lives Matter in the inclusive introduction. It warms my heart to know compassion still exists every day in everyday people. Introduction, a brief moment recognizing those who need the most support right now, grounds me and puts me at ease. I, too, am trying to undo my own systemic biases, and resources gathered are helpful for helping me learn how to be better to others, be better for to others and for them. Wow, that's beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing what you've learned and helping the rest of us grow, too. Black Lives Matter. And we all can do better. The ads don't bother me, considering how many hours go into making of each episode and the inability of most listeners to become a patron. I quite like the added listening content. Your time is valuable. I appreciate the labor and love it takes to create each episode. Even on nights when I have to stay up for a whole episode, meandering, rambling, loosely woven stories are purely delightful. I work in an emotionally exhausting profession. Podcast shifts my mind right out of work, puts me in sleep mode. And I'm so grateful to you and the work you do. Thank you for this gift of sleep and for, you know, helping like those of us feel connected that want to grow and learn and be better every day. Then, so I could almost stop it there. Really, really nice. Actually, I will because then I'll just move. I can just do the other one, send another thank you. Thank you, everybody, for taking the time to review the show and really share what you connect with, because some people really share what they don't connect with. So it's important to me hear what you connect with and what keeps you listening. I really appreciate it, and I appreciate being here to support you. Because it really is like one of those reflective type things. And those of you that support the show directly or on Patreon or by taking the time to spread the word or write a review, that's what makes this show possible. Thank you so much, and good night. All right, everybody, this is Scoots. I'm talking about tonight's sponsor, Helix Sleep. You could take that Helix Sleep quiz at helixsleep.com/sleep. I'm just about to hit my 4-year anniversary sleeping in my Helix Dusk Lux. And I took that Helix quiz. You know, I sleep on my side. I sleep on my stomach. I toss. I turn. I don't want to overheat at night. And when I took the quiz, that was the mattress it matched me with. The Helix Dusk, I chose the Helix Dusk Lux. Because Helix has like 20 unique mattresses. They've got an award-winning Lux collection, the Helix Elite collection, which is new, a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And the way you'll know the Helix mattress works best for you and your body is to take that Helix sleep quiz at helixsleep.com/sleep. You'll find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That personalized mattress will be shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping in it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress. Everybody's unique. Everybody sleeps differently. That's why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from, each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. There's models with memory foam layers to provide optimal pressure relief if you sleep on your side. Models with a more responsive foam to cradle your body for essential support in stomach and back sleeping positions. Plus, there's enhanced cooling features for people like me, keep us from overheating at night. If your spine needs an extra TLC, they got you. Every Helix mattress has a hybrid design combining comfort and support. I took the Helix sleep quiz. Like I said, I got matched with the Helix Dusk. I wanted something with the right firmness that I could sleep on my stomach, my side, even my back. And they kept me from overheating. And it fits the bill. And not only is it the best mattress I've slept on, the setup was fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box straight to your door for free. Plus, all Helix mattresses come with a 10 to 15 year warranty, depending on the model. And if you don't want to take my word for it, Helix has been awarded the number one mattress pick by GQ and Wired magazine. It's even recommended by multiple leading chiropractors and doctors. The sleep medicine is a go-to solution for improving your sleep. And Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep and use the code HELIXPARTNER20. That's HELIXPARTNER20, one word. This is the best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple.